This is Chasing Wisdom, your source for conversation and serious ideas for those striving to become wiser leaders in business. Your host is Dr. Sam Serto. Sam is the Steinmetz Professor of Management in the Graduate School of Business at Rollins College in Winter Park, Florida. He also serves as a leader at Northland, a church distributed located in Central Florida. Along with leaders from various fields, our goal is to provide practical wisdom for those navigating real-world business challenges. Welcome to this conversation about how to become a wiser leader in business, Bible, and life.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Sam Serto, and you're listening to the Chasing Wisdom podcast. Here, leaders talk about business, Bible, and life to help all of us become wiser leaders. Today, our special guest is Peter Katauskas. Peter is the founder and president of Alexander Financial Group, a financial and risk management firm located in Maitland, Florida. In terms of his career background, Peter has worked many years for the well-known Safeco Insurance Company in New Jersey, as well as for the Crum and Forster Insurance Company in New York City. In 1986, Peter moved to Orlando, transferring from Crum and Forster to its Orlando office. In 2001, Peter and his son Eric founded Alexander Financial Group, an insurance agency. Chad Kinsley, Peter's son-in-law, joined the firm in 2004. The company has just celebrated its 16th business birthday. The firm has grown quickly and now offers a large array of products, including personal property and casualty insurance, commercial property and casualty insurance, professional liability insurance, and personal and business financial planning. The company aims to be a true one-stop shop for people and small businesses with needs in insurance, benefits, and financial planning. The company is built on the philosophy to be all things to a few people and not all things to all people. Peter and his wife of 46 years, Connie, have three children and eight grandchildren. Peter, it's great to have you here today.
Thank you, Sam. It's great to be here, and it's really an honor to be here.
Well, thank you. The honor's mine, Peter. I would like to start this with just a little bit of a question that that you can think about. Many of the people listening are leaders and trying to gain ideas from you about how they should operate in their organizations. And there may be some out there who are interested in taking their careers into a personally owned entrepreneurial segment of the insurance business. So going from a large company to an entrepreneurship, much like you have done. What is one bit of advice in terms of expectations? What should they expect if they're thinking about doing this?
Well, I think there are several things that they should expect and several things that they should do. I would say the things that they should do is to spend a lot of time planning. Mm-hmm. When my son Eric and I did this, we spent a lot of time putting together pro formas, potential sales, potential costs, potential expenses, just to be as prepared as we possibly could be for what the reality of starting a business from scratch might be. I think that the second thing I would mention is that they need to be prepared for difficulties that pop up that you don't expect.
Curveballs.
Curveballs. Life is full of curveballs, and starting a business is no different. So I think that someone needs to be prepared for that. And when it comes to the financial piece, they have to make sure that they're well capitalized.
As we think about that, you have one bit of data that you exchanged with me that I thought was pretty profound, and people may not think about, but an entrepreneur needs to work in the business and work for the business.
Right.
And tell us a little bit about that, Peter.
Well, it's a phrase that someone else taught me, and I thought it was a valuable piece of advice as respects working in the business and working on the business. Working in the business is really delivering the products and services. It's really the sales process. And every business is a sales organization. But you also have to work on the business, meaning you have to do planning. You have to evaluate your results. You have to look at the areas where your strengths are and look at the areas where your weaknesses are. Mm-hmm. And you have to evaluate those objectively and make changes along the way that enable you to continue to make progress. And so you have to work on the business as well. You can't just work in it.
When you think about organizing, how large is your firm now?
My firm is a small firm. We are a total of six people.
Okay.
And we do about $1.2 million in annual revenue.
Okay. So when you think about organizing, when you think about staffing, when you think about planning, monitoring, that control function, making sure things are going as you plan for them to go, it becomes, regardless of size, it becomes profound in terms of those activities being performed. And as you go from a larger organization to a smaller organization, those functions still exist. But sometimes entrepreneurs think they're maybe focusing just in the business instead of on the business.
That's right. That's another aspect of working on the business is you know, working with your staff, training your staff, encouraging your staff, which I think is a very significant part of both management and leadership is encouragement. And in the large corporate environment, people kind of have a job to do. And so the organizational aspect of that is a little bit different. But there are organizational aspect in the small environment is equally as important, as you pointed out.
Mm-hmm.
Because really in a small company, people are wearing many hats. And so everybody has to be a lot more flexible in that small business environment because they have to delve into different tasks and different duties that they might not ordinarily have to do in the large corporate environment.
So you usually talk about three groups of people, staff, clients, and your underwriters, insurance companies mm-hmm. around, and having to respond to those three groups of people in different ways. Is that true?
That is true.
How does that work, Peter?
Well, I really think there are many aspects of business that are difficult. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I think working with people is both the most rewarding aspect of the job and the most challenging aspect of the job. And every business has various groups of people with whom they deal. In our case, you know, there's a client, and they really, sometimes we think when you have your own business that you don't have a boss. You really do. And the boss is your client.
That's right.
You know? And so I think, you know, our philosophy is to put the client first all the time, every time. If we focus on the client and place their interests above our own, we believe the rest of everything will take care of itself. But of course, we're dealing with our staff. We're engaging interchangeably with different tasks that we have to do, like I just mentioned a minute ago. And then we're delivering a product from an insurance company to the client. So we're trying to secure a insurance proposal from the underwriters.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not always easy to please.
Mm-hmm.
And they ask for a lot of information, sometimes information we don't think is necessary. But somehow we have to figure out a way to get them what they need and to tell a story about the account that is compelling, but truthful. And being truthful and transparent is extremely important to us. So we don't ever want to misrepresent anything. But at the same time, you want to present the facts to that underwriter in the best light possible. So you're dealing with three completely different groups of people, and each one takes a little bit different kind of handling.
As people listen to this, there are certain challenges that you've mentioned about dealing with your staff, dealing with people, that I think all individuals face. And I'd like to get your reaction from a couple of these. One of these is that you believe that everyone needs to be valued and recognized for that value. How do you do that?
Well, The way I do it, I think that's one of the most important things in all of relationships. It's not just dealing with staff, but it's dealing with all relationships in life, whether it's husbands and wives, sons and daughters, brothers and sisters, all of these relationships. People need to be treated with value and with respect. So I think it's extremely important. In the job, in the workplace, I do it by trying to catch people doing something right. We think of the word catch somebody, we always think of that in a negative light.
It's a positive light.
But I think of it in a positive light of trying to catch people doing something right or doing something good, and then right there on the spot, giving them affirmation, confirmation, and thanking them for what they do with no strings attached. It's not like, good job, let's do it again tomorrow. The do it again tomorrow, I leave that off. Mm-hmm. Because I don't want any strings attached to a compliment. So the way I do it is to try to find them doing something right and then thank them for doing a good job.
But what I like about your personal philosophy about leadership is that you kind of go by salary and benefits. That those, in a sense, are factors. You need to be fair with salary. You need to be fair with benefits. People appreciate that. But people don't really come to work for benefits. They don't produce for benefits. And salary may be up. It may be down a little bit. It may not be perfectly what they expect. But things like feeling valued starts to motivate. It starts to enhance individuals. Another thing that you mentioned in terms of your personal leadership style has to do with respect and respecting staff members. How do you show respect? If somebody's listening to this, Peter, right now, and they're saying, yeah, I know I need to show respect for staff. How should I do that?
Well, I like the word dignity and respect. I like to think that that people should and that we do this is that treat others with dignity and respect. And I think probably the number one thing that shows people that you respect them is to be a good listener. I think that's probably the number one thing. When people come into my office, we're discussing an account. There's all different kinds of things that we can be discussing. There's different strategies. And I really value and respect the opinion of the people that work in our office, even though, you know, I'm their boss, so to speak. When we're in the office, we roll up our sleeves and we work shoulder to shoulder. We work with each other as a team. And so I am always wanting to know what their ideas are and what their thoughts are on how to handle a certain client or a certain situation. And I think really listening to them and putting some of those ideas into practice demonstrates a lot of respect.
Let me give you another one. These are Peter's ideas. Your staff needs to feel safe. What does it mean when it's unsafe, and how do you make it safe for them?
I think that's an easy one for me to answer. A safe environment is one where people can express their ideas without fear of being judged, without fear of being ridiculed, kind of creating the environment where all ideas are good ideas, even if some of them aren't. But you create the environment where it's safe to come in and talk to the owner of the company about anything that's on their mind, you know, whether it's work or personal for that matter. But it's a safe environment, and where if they were to come in and talk about something personal, they know that it's confidential and that confidentiality will be carefully guarded. And if it's about business, that they could come in and say, look, I think we need to do this. I think we need to do that. And they can do that without fear of being ridiculed.
I was with a client recently and doing some interviewing with their people about feedback. And one of the first responses I got from one of the first people I interviewed was, if I say what I really believe, am I going to be penalized?
Exactly.
That's the opposite of what you're talking
about.
That's
the opposite. Yeah, the unsafe environment is where they feel someone is looking over their shoulder all the time, that they're being criticized for the work that they do, and that they feel like their work is never good enough, never comes up to standard, that's an unsafe environment.
Okay. And if you look at the safe environment versus the unsafe, the effort that you put into making it safe becomes very positive, because that's where creativity starts to expand. That's where, if people aren't afraid of making a mistake, that's where good things start to happen.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. We have a feature, Peter, called Sunday to Monday. And what it is that we try to talk about something that you might hear on a Sunday that would be valuable to take into the business world on Monday, into the work week, and continue on with. And as we exchanged material for this podcast, I know that you talked about, and you feel very positively about, Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 to 4, and how it sort of fits in with what you're talking about, I believe. Would you, it says, talk about, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others.
Well, it is a verse that I think is really foundational to my own personal beliefs and my own faith. As a Christian, I want to adhere to biblical principles. I want that to be the hallmark of really who our company is and who I am. And so that verse, to me, is also foundational to all relationships. As I mentioned just a few minutes ago, treating people with dignity and respect, valuing everyone, no matter what the relationship is something that I think is very important. So that verse, I paraphrase that verse this way: be humble and place the interest of others above your own. And if we all did that, what an amazing thing that would be. It's hard to do because we're not wired that way. But when Christ is in your heart, I think you have a shot at striving towards being that kind of person, putting the interests of others above your own.
The philosophy of the podcast series is that we're trying to put business and Bible together, and that somebody is best equipped for success in leadership, reflecting wise leadership, in essence, if they're able to put those two together. And you mentioned that it would be an amazing thing if, and you use that word amazing, mm-hmm. essentially if you could do that using this verse. What would be amazing about it, Peter?
Well, I think that I think the difficulties in life, most of the time, there are exceptions, arise from difficulties in relationships. I've come back to the word relationship mm-hmm. several times. Mm-hmm. You know, we were made for relationship. Our God, the Creator, Almighty, All-Powerful God, created us for relationship. First with Himself through His Son, Jesus, and then for us to have relationships with each other, husband and wife, parents and children, brothers and sisters, friends. All of these kinds of things permeate your life.
Right.
And so what makes a relationship rich is when you are able to place the interests of that other person above your own. And again, I mentioned we're not wired that way. We're born self-centered. So to overcome the way we're wired is not an easy task at all. But if you stop and think for a moment, if everybody, this is a big thought, but in theory, if everybody in the world were placing the interest of others above their own, and the what about me self-centered syndrome that is so permeates our culture was taken away, we would be living in an amazing world.
Truly amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're close to the end of your podcast, believe it or not. And we end each podcast with a pearl of wisdom. And let me give you some highlights, the listeners' highlights about what you have forwarded. Basically, not letting trials and burdens in life be what defines you, but be defined by how you handle those trials and burdens. Is that close to your philosophy, Peter?
That's exactly my philosophy. There's kind of two pearls of wisdom, and that's one of them is don't let the trials and burdens of life define who you are. Sam, you and I were talking earlier before the podcast about the analogies we can apply to life from sports.
Mm-hmm.
And in baseball, the most successful hitters are the ones who learn to hit the curveball. And I believe life is the major leagues, and we get a lot of curveballs thrown at us, and there's a lot of burdens and trials. It's how we handle them that matters. And especially as Christians, it matters, I think, even more because people are watching how we handle the difficulties in life. We can be sure of that.
Excellent advice. Excellent advice. Thank you, Peter. Unfortunately, now your time is up, and thank you so much for being here today. Listeners can email Peter at, let me spell this one for you, PKATAUSKAS at ALEXFINANCIAL.com. Thanks to all of you out there for being here on Wisdom Wednesday. You can keep in touch with me on Facebook at chasing.wisdom or my website, chasewisdom.com. See all of you next Wednesday. In the meantime, you know what I'm going to say. Keep chasing. God bless.
You've been listening to Chasing Wisdom with host Dr. Sam Serto. We would love to hear from you regarding this podcast. You can reach us at northlandchurch.net/chasingwisdom. We will be here each Wednesday with a fresh look at being a wiser leader in business, Bible, and life. Want to reach out to Dr. Serto? Email him at sserto@rollins.edu.